Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. You are holy. Yes, you are God.
I really love you.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, in the spirit, love to worship you,
love to worship you,
oh Lord. Don't you know we serve a holy God? I really love
you.
My God, oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, into my heart, there's a worshiper in me.
Out of all the things I am,
everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. I love this. Listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me. Spirit of the Lord. And the worshiper is in me.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
And the worshiper,
and the worshiper is in me.
The Spirit of the Lord.
And the worshiper.
Love the worship. Lift those hands right now. This is a good place. Come on, celebrate it. If you really love the worship, come on, begin to bless him. Come on, come on. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Come on. Everybody in this place, come on, stretch your hands before your God. Just celebrate him. Come on, come on. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how great he is in your life. Come on, just love on the Lord. I'm talking about your Savior.
Amen.
Amen, man of God.
Amen.
Are you there?
Oh yes, sir. Yes,
I know you got
look,
look, look, I know you look, I know you was on your face prostrate in the place of worship because we love to worship.
Man, I love to worship, sir. Love to worship. You know, and I think
so
that's
let's give
just,
him some praise
worshiping.
Right now. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Oh Lord,
yes,
we
sir.
Thank
you,
Lord,
Father.
We thank you, Lord. We
God, we
you,
glorify
Lord.
You. Yes,
we glorify
Lord.
You right now, Lord. We just
thank
bow
you.
Down
Hallelujah,
before you,
Jesus.
Lord. We submit to you and your word today, Lord, as we step
yes,
into
Father.
The closet, Lord. Let the prophet be anointed to hold a mantle and to deliver your direction, Lord, in your love and your compassion to us today as we worship you. Lord, you say to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we step in these arenas with you right now and just thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Father.
Just glorify
thank you,
you
God.
Lord. We worship you.
Yes,
we
Father.
Worship
we worship
you. We worship
God.
You.
Open us up today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Open our hearts
yes,
up, God, to receive your word.
Yes.
Open our minds up, Father, to be willing to change, God, towards your word, Father. And,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
We
yes,
increase
Lord.
As you increase inside of us, Father. And, Father, we thank you right now that things are getting ready to change. Matter of fact, Father, things have already changed. We have just yet to catch up with it, Father, because our mind is all over the place, God. Our thoughts are all over the place. But you had said, let these thoughts of mine be up under your subjection, Father. And you said, lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all your ways, God, acknowledge you. So, Father, all we have to do is acknowledge you, and you will direct our path, Father. Oh, God, we surrender it all to you. We surrender it all to you, Father. So, God, we thank you. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for all the wonderful and marvelous things that you've already done. And if you never do a single thing ever again, Father, you've done enough. And we glorify you, and we magnify you. And we shalom, shabak, oh, shekata, my God, glory. And we just glorify you for what you've already done, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And if everybody has felt that and want to come in to just say, hey, amen on behalf of that, that's just the acknowledgement of the prayer. I believe what you just said, man of God, yes, in prayer. So we just thank God for what he's getting ready to do, what he's already done, and what he's yet to do. We give him praise and honor for it. You have entered into the prophet's closet. I am your friend. I'm your brother. I'm your cousin. I'm your nephew. I'm the neighbor down the street. I'm the one who's driving right next to you right now. I'm the person at the fuel station looking for somebody to pump some gas into my car. I am your brother, Prophet Dwayne Woods. All right, y'all. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the mind. You know, I read a little passage from mind of the rapper and what he was saying. Amen. And so right now I want to talk to you all again about the mind. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we say the things that we say? And what results are we looking for when we do and say these? Amen. Well, I want to talk to you all today about the troublesome thing that goes on in our mind, the reason why we do the things that we do, and some things we don't even know why we do the things that we do. You know, but if you would go with me to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, and I believe it's the 20th verse, I want to read to you all something that I thought that was very compelling to me when it comes to dealing with the things and the thoughts of our mind. Amen. So Paul, as you know, wrote the book of Romans, and as he was dealing with a lot of things that were going on with him per se, you know, you got to realize something. In the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter, you know, here goes, his name was Saul at the time. Saul, he get knocked off a horse, a donkey, or whatever you want to say it was. He gets knocked off of this. A light beams from heaven, calls out his name. He responds as to, "What will you have me to do, Lord?" Jesus Christ begins to tell him the things that he need of him to do. Now, you got to understand something. Paul, being the person who he was, Saul, before he was converted to Paul, still had issues going on in his life, troublesome issues that will deal with your mind. Somebody said this on the other day, if you do not deal with your issues today, tomorrow your issues going to deal with you. You might want to write that one down. That's a freebie. Amen, because it was freely given to me, so I'm freely giving it to the radio show. If you do not deal with your issues today, they will deal with you tomorrow. Glory be to God. So here in the book of Romans, here's Paul having a battle within himself, a mind battling of the things that he did, now to the things that he's trying to do for Christ. So it was a battle going on in his spiritual man and his outward man, which is the flesh. But he said something in verse number 20, the 7th chapter and verse number 20, and then we're going to deal with a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to go to this story. Glory be to God. So I want you to really listen. I want you to really listen and pay attention to this passage. Romans, the 7th chapter, it says this: "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse number 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," but here it goes little tricky right here. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Paul was having an issue with the things that was inside of him. If you do not deal with these things, they're going to deal with you. Eventually, they're going to deal with you. If you never get to the point of handling deep-rooted issues, it's going to deal with your mind. It's going to bring thoughts to you. It's going to have you do things out of your character because you never handled the things before. You never applied the word of God to certain situations and areas in your life. You think that just because I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's it. There's work that needs to be done now. You need to be cultivated. You need to ask God to deal with some of the things that is warring in my mind, because the mind is the battlefield. That's where the enemy is trying to get you to go back to where you used to be. He was dealing with Paul to go back to where he used to be. Paul was one of the chief intercessors for the enemy. Why do I say that? Because he killed hundreds of thousands of Christians. That was led by Jesus Christ. That's why he had that experience in the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter. So he said, I find that there's another law in my members. A law that wants to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do, how it wants to do, and because my mind is not strong enough to stop it, I consent to do what my mind is willing to lean towards doing. Ooh, good God Almighty. This is the reason why we have so many situations in our lives that the mind begins to tell us or take over the things that we should not be doing. It takes over. And it says, well, no, you should be doing this because I wanted to be pleased. The pleasures of the mind, the pleasures of the flesh. And if we don't deal with them right now, I guarantee you they're going to deal with you later. They're going to mess you up in the conversation. They're going to trip you up. You know, you thinking that you're going over here. Yeah, I'm going to be this, that, and that. Then all of a sudden your flesh hits you, and you go on the other opposite side of the town that you're running away from God. But God sees all, knows all, and he's in all. Hallelujah. So Paul says, he says, but I find this in my members warring against me and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he goes on to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because sin is death. The law of sin is death. He even explains it. I am a carnal man sold under sin. And anytime you begin to operate in the carnal mindset that many of us operate in, guess what? Sin is knocking at the door. I'm coming in. And many of us open the door to sin. We open the door to sin. I put something on Facebook the other day, and I was talking about why aren't Christians living the Bible? Because if we were really living the Bible, when we hear gossip, instead of jumping on the bandwagon, we will confront the one who's gossiping in a loving manner and tell them, look, we don't do that. If we're really doing the Bible, when people talk about the pastor, guess what? We will go into prayer. We will cover the pastor. We will intercede on the behalf of the pastor. The Bible says, strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. But no, if the pastor do one single thing wrong, the thousand things that he did right will be abolished, because we will only concentrate on the one thing that he done wrong. Why do we do this? What makes us gossip? What makes us slander people? What makes us talk about folk? What makes us cuss people out? What makes us fornicate when we shouldn't be fornicating? What makes us commit adultery? What makes us kill folk? Some things deeply rooted in our mind and in our flesh does these things. Let's look at it now. What did he say in verse number 22? He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. A law in my members and there's a law in my mind. I have the right to choose to go along with my flesh, and I also have the right to choose to go along with the Spirit says. And it determines what is more stronger as far as the voice. Is the voice of God stronger, or is the voice of the enemy stronger? And it will decide for you because of the way that you go. Whatever way you choose, glory be to God. Either you're going to choose life and that more abundantly, or you're going to choose death, which is the sinful nature. There's only two choices. It is whatever is strongest in your body, whatever your flesh is leaning to the most. If your mind does not conquer that thing, your flesh is going to take over and is going to rule and wreak havoc. Amen. Are y'all with me? Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews, the eighth chapter in Hebrews. I hope I'm saying something good to somebody. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the eighth chapter in Hebrews. 8 and 10. Eighth chapter, the 10th verse in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Y'all bear with me because I'm driving as I'm reading these scriptures and going down the way. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 10, 8 and 10 of Hebrews, it says, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. Look at what God says. What did I tell you? It's two laws. There's a law that is warring in your flesh, and there's a law in your mind. So what did God say? He said, I'm going to put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them their God, and they shall be to me my people. Look at what God says. He said, I'm going to put my laws in their mind. That means that we have got to have the mind of Christ. We have got to have the laws that's getting ready to tell us the things that you're getting ready to do, you know you shouldn't be doing it. The things that you're getting ready to say, you know you shouldn't be saying that. There should be a strong spirit of conviction on us when we're getting ready to do opposite of what God wants us to do. So the mind, if we do not bring the mind up under subjection to the law of God, we're going to do contrary to what God wants us to do every time, because stronger than our spiritual nature. That's why that there's a struggle with people who stay saved. That's why that there's a struggle with people who backslide. Oh my goodness, I ain't gonna go too deep into that stuff right now, but we have situations going on that is coming and waging war against our mindset. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I think it's 9 and 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the true and living God? Purge our conscience from these things, God. As a matter of fact, submerge my conscience under the power of the Holy Spirit, that the things that I find myself wanting to do, I don't do, because I'm reminded of what price you paid on Calvary Hill. Many of us, when we come to do certain things in our flesh, it's because our flesh does not remember what God did for us, doesn't remember that Jesus paid the ultimate price. He sacrificed himself for all of us to be reborn, to be recommitted, to be resubmitted to God. He paid an ultimate price of death so that we may live. and not live as the world would have us to live, but live as Christ would have us to live. Oh, come on, somebody. So that was Hebrews 8:10. Let's go to Isaiah. Go to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to get into the story, because I wanted to know, I want to see, do y'all know why this person did what he did? So go to the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. 26th chapter of Isaiah, please. 26. And let's start at verse number 2. It says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Verse 3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, trust in thee." He trusts in the Lord to keep his mind from doing the complete opposite. When you surrender your mind over to God, you're actually saying, "I trust you with this mind because I myself can't be trusted. So I got to trust something stronger than me. I got to trust Jehovah Jireh. I got to trust Jehovah Nissi. I got to trust El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha. I got to trust him because he knows what's best for me. He leads and guides me in all truth. That's because I surrender myself unto him." And when you have a surrendered mind, oh, I heard that one, Holy Spirit. When you have a surrendered mind, you can pretty much have a complete life. And then that's fresh off the press from the Holy Spirit. He said, "When you surrender your mind to me, I can literally guide your life to completion. There won't be anything that you will lack if you allow me to guide your mind." That's why he says, "Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways," what? "Acknowledge him, for he," what? "Shall direct your path." And any time that your mindset is allowed for God to direct your path, he knows what's best for you, and he will choose the righteous things for you. Oh, come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so what we want to do is bring you into the enlightenment of what God is really trying to do for all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I keep getting text messages from people saying that they can't get into the recording of this subject on tonight. But let's pray that the airways be opened up, that whatever is blocking the airways, Father, for people to get in, that it be a release to them in the name of Jesus. That it be a release to them in the mighty name of Jesus, that they can get on and hear what thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you, and we bless you. We thank you, and we bless you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you begin to trust in the Lord, when you begin to sanctify yourself into the things of God, God takes complete control and ownership over your mind. And so we just thank God for what he is doing and what he is about to do, not just for me, but for those who have been submitted to the things of him. Amen. And that's where God begins to do the greatest work, is when you begin to submit yourself to the workmanship of God. That's when God begins to change things around, rearrange things. Glory be to God. Help your mindset from thinking negative thoughts to now thinking positive thoughts about yourself, about your circumstances and your situations. God can change if you allow him to do so, but it all starts with the mind. It all starts. Everything starts with the mind. The acceptance of Jesus Christ starts with the mind. Glory be to God. Oh, God. The acknowledgement of I want to change starts with your mind. Hallelujah. And when your mind begins to get to the point where I no longer want to see the same things that I've been seeing, I want to change, guess what? You will begin to change. Hallelujah. But I want to deal with this story right here in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. I want to talk to you all about the mindset that Cain was in at the time of him murdering his brother. What mindset do you have to be in to kill? What mindset was he in? Now, go back to what was said in the book of Romans. Paul had said, I find that there is war raging against my members and also bringing me under captivity in my mind. So what mindset was Cain in that he commit this gruesome murder over an offering? Y'all get with me. Over an offering, y'all. He kills his brother over an offering. So let's talk about this. Talk about this. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Let's start at verse number three. Let's start at verse number three. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of his first fruit. Now, Cain was the keeper of the ground, and Abel was the keeper. You know, he handled the livestock. Everything that was planted in the ground, of course, you name it, tomatoes, cabbage, corn, wheat, barley, whatever, peanuts, whatever that the ground would produce, that's what Cain was over. Cain was the tiller of the ground. Okay? Vegetables all come from the ground. So Cain was the tiller of the ground. And his brother Abel was a sheep herder, or he had the livestock. He handled the livestock. Okay? Y'all with me so far? So now here it comes. It says, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. Cain was very wroth. Cain was very angry because of this, because the Lord denied or did not accept his offering. So the mindset of an individual who has been denied or rejected, their mind goes into another place, especially when you've been rejected or denied. Your mind begins to wonder. If you think about today's society, if somebody rejected you, your mind begins to think of, why was I rejected? If you were denied credit in certain areas, why was I denied? Your mind begins to bring some harsh thinking to you. either about yourself or about the person who rejected you, or you beat yourself up as, why was I denied this automobile or this house or whatever the case may be. Your mind begins to play things and play with you. Okay? So here's here's Cain. He's angry. Remember in the Bible says, I believe it was in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it talks about being angry but sin not. It says, be angry but sin not. Because if in your anger, it also says, don't give the devil a foot, give him a foot or a place. But that's what happens when anger is at your door. Here's the enemy, because the enemy operates on anything opposite of God. He operates on anything opposite of God. So when anger is at your door, the enemy is actually at your door. When anger is at your door, it's actually the enemy. He's at your door, and he's opening it to come in. And in this case, now look at what is getting ready to go down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now look at what God says, because God now is trying to encourage him. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Look at what God is saying. He's really actually trying to encourage him to say, look, just because you didn't offer the best doesn't mean that I still don't love you. It's just that I ain't accepting any old thing. But his mind spoke differently because anger allowed the enemy to come in to the mind. Ooh, good God Almighty. This is the reason why you have got to submit yourself under the handmanship of God. And you got to ask God, Lord, take over this mind. Because when you walk in anger, you walk in anger. And if you ever put a D in front of anger, what does it spell? I know some of y'all are looking at it right now. If you put a D in front of anger, what does it spell? It spells danger. Danger, which means something is getting ready to take place. Something is getting ready to happen. And when danger steps in, that's another degree. That's another degree. Anger is one degree, but danger is a whole other degree. That means something is getting ready to take place. I'm getting ready to avenge myself. I'm getting ready to wreak havoc on somebody because somebody's getting ready to pay. I want y'all to listen to that now. Listen to what I just said. Somebody is getting ready to pay because now I'm at danger level. Okay, listen to me now. Listen to me. And then God says, he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. What is that? Who desire? Who desire, if sin is at your door, who desire is it? It ain't Cain's desire. It's the devil's desire now. Because he's just walking all through your neighborhood, walking all through your house. Glory be to God. He's walking now. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me so far? So he says this. He says this, God says, and unto to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Look at that. And the devil shall rule over you. When you allow anger to come in, which is really going to another degree with danger, now you allow the devil to rule over you. And Cain talked with his Abel, talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. That's what happens when your mind has gone to another level, that it cannot stop thinking about what just happened to you. my mind is playing tricks on me, to believe that my brother is better than me, to believe that my sister is better than me, to believe that my coworker is better than me, to believe that I'm only going to settle at this moment right here with my life. That's what danger does. Danger takes your thoughts to a whole nother level. Everybody's talking about me now. I can't get rid of this certain stigma in my life. People always bringing up what I did in the past. Danger, danger, danger. And God is saying, you need help right now because your mind is on a whole nother tripping level, and it's going to trip you up. Half the people who are incarcerated in jail, it's because of the mind. Their mind took them to another level, to the point where they've done some bodily harm to somebody. They've done a gruesome and awesome offense against somebody. Amen. Someone who's thinking all day about murder or how to commit murder, the mind has gotten them to a level that if God can't step in, guess what? Their mind has been turned over to the devil. Without your mind, I can't do nothing. Without the agreement between me and you, I can't do anything. So your mind begins to agree with the things of the enemy. That's why we gossip. That's why we curse folk out. That's why we do the things that we do, because our mind just made an agreement with the enemy. Hallelujah. That's why so much going on in the church and the body of Christ, because folks' mind have come to the agreement of what the enemy is trying to do against the church, and we're on the bandwagon with them. One of my things is when I hear a brother talk about another brother or a sister talk about a sister and they saying it to me, I stop it immediately, because I don't want the fruit of the gossip to enter into my spirit, man. So what do I do? So the individual who they talking about and say, hey, y'all need to get this together. Both of them looking at me, well, especially the one who's gossiping, looking at me crazy, like, how dare you do this? No, how dare you do this? He's supposed to be your brother. She's supposed to be your sister. Mature individuals work things out. Immature people keep up mess. Oh, I just said something right there. Good God Almighty. Mature people handle things. What did Paul, was it David that said? He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child. He said, but when I became a grown individual, I put away childish things. We are in the body of Christ still acting childish because of our mindset won't be released to be adults, to handle things the way God will handle them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My God, glory. Thank you, Father. We handle things immaturely in the body of Christ. That's why there's so much isms and schisms going on in the body of Christ. Because we don't handle things the way things need to be handled. Glory be to God. That as of this day, everyone under the sound of my voice will handle things the way that you see fit for them to handle, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. That we'll no longer handle as children, we'll handle things, God. But we will handle these things as adults, Father. Hallelujah. So what happened to Cain? What happened to him? His mind took over. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I really don't believe that Cain really wanted to kill his brother. I just believe that his anger was such at a level to the point where danger came in, and he committed the number one thing. I mean, that was so matter of fact, when danger is at a level in your life, it thinks only one thing, how to get rid of this individual. If we don't allow it to come up under subjection, if we don't allow our minds to be settled and eased in the things of God, we can, our minds can go there. Our minds can go there. And Cain's mind went there because he thought that was the ultimate thing that God did was rejected him. But God wasn't rejecting him. He was just saying, man, your offering ain't good enough. He never said that he couldn't go back and do it again. Did anybody read that in the Bible, that God said that he couldn't go back and present another offering to him? Because I didn't see that. No, God warned him of his actions, and he was trying to get him to change his mind, his mindset. Hallelujah. He was really trying to get him to change his mindset. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Let's go back. Look at what he said. He said, first of all, he said, why are thou so angry? Why are you so angry because of my disappointment in your offering? Let's break it down to layman terms. That's just like your child, you know, getting angry because, hey, you told him to clean the room. Now his sister cleaned the room very well, but he cleaned the room half-heartedly. He threw things under the bed, didn't even expect you to go look under the bed. He just threw things the way he wanted to throw things in the closet, didn't expect you to go behind him to see, did you really, really clean up? Because on the outer surface, it looked good when I walked in the room. But when I begin to do my real inspection, looking under your bed, looking in your closet, trying to see when I lift up the toilet, why is there pee stains all over the place? No, you only did what you thought that you wanted to do to get by. And you thought what you was getting ready to do was going to be pleasing to me. And God says, no, you could have did better than this. Could have did better than this, Cain. He says, so why are you so angry? And why did you allow your countenance to fall? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Look at what God said. He said, if you've done well, guess what? You would have been accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Why did God say that? Because 9 times out of 10, when we do something that is wrong, guess what? It's at the door waiting for us. You knew it was wrong to cuss that person out. You knew it was wrong to start that argument. You knew it was wrong. You had another alternative motive when you started that argument with your husband or with your wife. You wanted to get out the house to do something. And then you wanted to blame the argument that you had that made you do it. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. Let's get real today. Your mind is playing tricks on you. My God, my God. So he goes on to tell him that sin lieth at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire. He said his desire. So if sin is lying at the door, it should be his desire. Whose desire is God referring to? I'll let you answer that. Amen. I think I've already answered it, but, you know, just doing a repeat. He says, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Amen. And Cain talked with his brother Abel. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. am I my brother's keep? And then he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. So guess what Cain did? Cain kills him, and then Cain buries him. That's what anger does. Anger commits, danger takes over, and then after it's all said and done, it tries to hide what it done. Anger and danger are in cahoots with one another, and then they try to hide what they done. It's like throwing your rock and hiding your hands. People trying to figure out where that rock came from. It came from the one whose hand is behind his back. The mind is something else, brothers and sisters on this line, I'm telling you. The mind will have you lie straight in somebody's face, just a bold-faced lie, and you told it with all confidence. That's what the mind will tell you to do. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. Glory be to God. And then we're gonna end it up here. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter, and verse number 2. And then I want you to stay in that same book, and the same chapter. So verse number 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on the things above. Set your thoughts on the things above and not on this earthly stuff. Okay? I'm just saying it to you in layman terms. Set your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. All right, stay the same book, same chapter. Go to verse number 10. Same book, same chapter, verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you was putting on a new man. You was actually asking God to do a change. Take this old man who is used to doing what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, how he speaks to people, how he looks at people. Take that person, and when you do it, God, give me the new man, because I want to be renewed. Let's go to verse number 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So once you put on the new man, you're actually chasing after the one who created you. You're chasing after God. You're chasing after him because he's renewed you. He renewed you to think differently. What did Paul do? In the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter, after Paul was kicked off that donkey or horse, guess what did Paul do? Paul was now a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. When you are renewed in your mind, you become a strong forerunner for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're actually saying to God, I want to advance the kingdom. How do you advance the kingdom? You advance the kingdom because you have been renewed, and now you want to tell everybody about the renewedness that you've been through, glory be to God, to how God changed you. And if God can change me, he can change you. So now you're one of God's strongest witnesses in the earth realm. Oh, my goodness. Come on, somebody. Come on, y'all get with me. All right, go to 2 Corinthians. This will be my last scripture. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. fifth chapter of Corinthians and 17th, I think that's 17th verse, I was writing while my hand was on the steering wheel and it was bumping all around. So I think it's the 17th verse. Okay, so let me see. So let's go to verse number, let's go to verse number 14 first and then read 14 down to, let's read verse 16 and 17. It says, wherefore henceforth now we know man to the flesh. We know man after the flesh. Yet though we have not known Christ after the flesh, yet now therefore know we him no more. Verse number 17. Therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you read 18, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of what? What ministry did he give you? If he reconciled you, he's now giving you the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Ha, my God, glory. But you can only do that when you what? Been renewed. Same thing that Colossians said. You no longer chase after the outward man. You're chasing after the inward man, the new man. And then you're chasing after the one who created you. And when you do this, guess what? Your mind no longer plays tricks on you. You're no longer submitted to the things of the world. You're now submitted to the things of God. And God begins to show you, oh, my God, I love this part. When you get to the point or the level in God, God begins to show you you. When you accept him, when you ask him to renew you, he shows you your old self, your old ways, your old behavior. And then he shows you what you're getting ready to do because of the newness that has now been imparted in you. And then you go out and start doing things not unto your own will, but to the will of the Father. Amen. Cain didn't realize that he was supposed to be of God and not of himself. And so when sin stepped in, he allowed the devil to walk therein and kill his precious brother, all because of an offering. All because of an offering. His mind played a trick on him. And he thought God didn't even love him no more because of what he brought to the God. But God never said that you couldn't go back, Cain, and do it again. He never said that. But his mind wouldn't allow him to see or even hear what God was actually trying to say to him. Amen. Well, I hope that what I said tonight has helped somebody. I hope that what I said that people can really get with me. Yep, that's it right there, Pastor E. My mind is playing tricks on me. Just listen to a little bit of this.
No, my brother, that was your background music. This is instrumental.
Okay.
this is your instrumental. This is your closing.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I didn't want to put that in there.
I know you did.
I had downloaded the instrumental, and I figured you just would flow with it the rest of your outing. But that beat, man, that beat.
Man, that beat is something else, ain't it? My mind's playing tricks on me.
It is. Yes, it is.
You know.
Man, you know what?
Man,
that's,
I pray
that's
I...
acknowledging, you know, that's acknowledging that what our daily struggle is about is that how our mind is what's being, where the battleground is, and to knowing that it's not about my heart, my lungs, my kidney, and no, my mind is the most important thing that I have to sustain in God. As a man thinketh in his heart, and it's not the heart of an artery, it's the heart of man, that as a man thinketh, so is he. And it's important that we continue to drive this, because if I think one way, I'm going to be only that way. If I think death,
yes,
death is going to follow. If I think love, love is going to follow. If I think arguing, it's going to follow. So it starts with me knowing the essence of where I'm. And I was talking to someone earlier about the line that you have to draw to say, I'm the same person. I'm here to embrace you. But here's my line. This is where I draw the line that I don't allow my mind, because it's easy to go back, Prophet.
Yes,
you,
it is.
You. And I know, you know, people don't know when they say, when you say you're driving, this man is driving a fully loaded 16-wheel major truck and preaching and reading from the Word of God at the same time simultaneously. You don't know how great that is in itself. That's, the mind could be tricked at any time, because watch if a car jumps in front of you while you're trying to do God's work. That doesn't take away from
exactly.
You wanting to. You don't take away from your mind wanting to go off. It takes from you being conscious enough to say, no, here's my line. I'll never go there again. You'll never be able
exactly.
to hear me cuss you out again. You know I've cussed you out before, but you'll never do it. You'll never be able to put that on me again. So so thank you so much, man. I applaud you, man, for continuing this series of the mind does play tricks on you, especially if it's not grounded in the mind of God, especially if you have
exactly.
other – you know, if you have other contaminations, how can you rely on the mind of God when you got 13 other minds in you?
Amen.
And we're
going
to clap the same man there.
Hey, right, along with 13 other personalities and all this other stuff that is going
and
on.
Attitudes and,
yeah,
you know,
man.
And stereotypes.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed, sir. You know, and so that's why I was saying about Cain. God never said that, Cain, you can't come back with me with another offering. He
right.
just allowed himself to wither away with what God had said. And God said, look, if you don't get this thing correct, man, sin is lying at your door.
Right. That's right. And that's what our mind does. It puts us in that selfish stage, you know. And I hope our listeners are listening today, and I apologize. We've been having some difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. Last night I couldn't get on. Today I know I scheduled your show for 180 minutes, and in 90 seconds it was cut off. That's why nobody could get back in. We still have a board full that are in, and if you want to comment, want to engage, dial one right now, we still can bring you in. But, man, let me tell you that the enemy, because of his rulership over the world, is steadily trying to block us to tell each other that we should be mindful, that we should be consistent, and that we should be, I just preached this the other day, and I know it's a favorite scripture of all of us, but when there's no limit, you got to know that you have to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, and it has to be a now thing. To know that the trouble comes, yes, your mind is going to challenge you, but do you let it play tricks on you that you act like your mind wants you to act? I'm going to leave it there. Pastor Terry, I knew your hand was going to jump up. What's up, woman of God?
Amen. Good evening,
Pastor
beautiful
Terry.
Family. Hey, good evening. How you doing, beautiful family? I'm saying bless glory you, to sis. God. Thanking you guys for being faithful faith feeders. You know, when he said our faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, so I always thank God for this platform, Pastor E, for the Now Network that we can get on here and you guys can do some teaching and we can take some notes and be looking at his word of God and our faith can be growing in him. good word, good teaching today, my brother. I heard what you said at the beginning. You said if we don't deal with our issues today, they will deal with us tomorrow. And you know what? Lord, please don't let the sun go down with my issues within me. Ooh, glory to God. You know, I said, Pastor, I was over here running on that one.
Running. But do you remember about a year ago that the main subject was issues? The prophet's closet would have you scared
to
go in because it was about issues.
But he said we take care of our little members, and the smallest member is that tongue. And I heard him say, when somebody's talking about it, you keep your mouth off folks. You know, and Pastor, as my mentor, you taught me that long time ago. If you ain't got nothing good to say, he said, keep your mind on things that are lovely, pure. Keep your mouth off, folks. If whatever they're doing is not a business, you know. So I praise God. I always thank him for his word, and I thank him for who he put on this platform to share his word, his true living word that's going to reside within us. So I always say glory to God. God bless you all and love you all. And look forward to the next episode. I love you too. The Prophet Closet. Amen. And I'm out. God bless.
Amen. Love
Amen.
You too, Pastor
Amen.
Terry. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, everybody else has had opportunity to raise their hands, and they did not. So we're going to take that as they have been blessed. I know I've been blessed. And, man, are you woo, my mind, the mind playing tricks. And what a good way to bring it to our knowledge, bit, bro, because it'd be happening.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking about the next time I come on there, man. We might need to play that intro music. Dun, dun, dun.
I got you, man.
Yeah,
I
like
the way
you did that, man.
I got
you. You know.
For you, man. Look, I'm DJing for you over here. I got the instrumental for you next on the fourth Wednesday of October.
Amen. I appreciate you,
Amen.
Pastor.
Bless
you,
brother.
Really do, man. And I thank God. You know, despite whatever the principalities of the airway way of doing, man, God's word still shall prevail. You know?
Oh, yes, it is.
And,
yes, it has.
God shall still be highly exalted, despite whatever the enemy of this world is trying to do with the airways, trying to block people from getting in to hear what thus says the Lord. So. All
Amen.
Is going to be well. All is going to be well.
Yes, 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 yes. Pray us out of here, bro.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor for everything that you said, Father. Now, Father, deal with our mindset. Allow our minds not to take ownership or rulership over this body, which is your body, Father. And, Father, we thank you right now that we're submitting ourselves unto you, the one who created everything. And God, we thank you for renewing in us a right mind, Father, to do the things that you would allow us to do on the earth realm, Father, to allow us to speak to who you want us to speak to, God, for allow us, God, to bring Christ to the forefront, God, that they may accept him as a Lord and Savior. So, Father, we thank you. Let us decrease as you increase in us, Father, that you may get all the glory and all the honor because it belongs to you anyway. Now, Father, have your way on the hearts and the minds of those who are listening, those who are on the platform, those who are on the internet, Father. Begin to do a new thing inside of them, God, that they may see the change taking place in their lives, Father. So, Father, we thank you and we glorify you. My God, for that person who's listening, God, who are on the verge of committing suicide, Father, I thank you that you stopped it. For the one who's been having pain in their heart, God, I thank you that you blocked the heart attack, Father. And, Father, we thank you that the one who may be going through a cancerous situation, Father, it won't be unto death, God, but it'll be unto the knowledge and the recognition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that that person is healed from the crown of their head to the very sole of their feet. And, Father, we thank you. And we glorify you in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And it is so, and so it is. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everyone.
You deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. Thank you. thank you, Jesus. Adoration and glory, it belongs to you always. Oh, you deserve my worship. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I just want to thank him for saving me. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do, Lord.
You deserve my praise.
You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory.
Adoration and glory.
Yes, it belongs to you.
Belongs to you always.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh,
you deserve.
You deserve my worship.
And you deserve.
You deserve.
You deserve. Adoration and glory, it belongs.